How many of y'all realize Thanksgiving's right around the corner? Y'all don't sound too excited about that. I always get excited about Thanksgiving because there's pumpkin pie around, right? See, let me tell you this before I get into the message. The thing about pumpkin pie is, it's like I could almost create a whole sermon about pumpkin pie being a blessing from the Lord and the sweet potato pie being the lie of the devil, because they look the same. They look the same, and every now and then, every great now and then, I can't tell the difference, and I accidentally eat what I don't want. All right. That has nothing to do with today's message. Sorry. We're going to look in Romans chapter 6 this morning. How many of y'all know what a turducken is? Anybody? Half of you? Most of you? Turducken. I never heard of it until probably 6 or 8 years ago. Didn't really know much about it. But what I'm going to read all of this description of some of the history of a turducken. All right. Basically, it's a chicken stuffed into a duck, stuffed into a turkey, and cooked that way. And I think it's got a little bit of sausage in there. All right. And if you slow cook it on the cooker, it's bound to be good. I'm just saying. It's a lot of work, and it's pretty expensive because you got all them pieces of meat together. Now, this here, I'm going to read this to you. Some say the turducken was invented in 1984 by the owners of Herbert's Specialty Meats in Maurice, Louisiana, after a customer requested it. The late Cajun chef Paul Prudhomme claimed to have invented the turducken, a turkey stuffed with a duck stuffed with a chicken, in the 1970s. He became synonymous with the dish and even trademarked the name in 1986. There are others who also claim to have invented the dish. While the origin of turducken might forever be shrouded in mystery, it is indeed part of a long history of ingastration. That's what that word is, the word that's used to describe stuffing one piece of meat into another piece of meat. That's just what it's called. It's the practice of stuffing and cooking one animal inside the other. Reports of ingastration go all the way back to the Middle Ages. If not earlier, it may have started with the Roman Empire, which saw 1,000-pound hog stuffed with birds. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Got caught up on the hog there for a minute. I lost my place. Okay, the heyday wasn't until the 18th and the 19th century, where stuffing meat inside the other meats was a way to show off one's wealth and impress guests in Europe. That makes sense. If you thought that the urge to stuff was solely limited to carnivores, you are wrong. Sweets have found their way into historical lineage of ingastration as well. Get ready, y'all, because it's getting ready to describe some of this. In 2009, home baker Charles Phoenix created the chair pumple, a three-layer cake with pies baked into each layer, dubbed the turducken of cakes. The chair pumple is composed of a cherry pie baked into a white cake, a pumpkin pie baked inside a yellow cake, and an apple pie baked inside a spice cake. And then the whole thing is coated with cream cheese frosting. It takes 3 days to make because each layer must be cooled before baking it into another. I'm gonna have to check my blood sugar just reading that. I can't even imagine, y'all. The turducken, which is what's on the screen right there, that's what the turducken looks like after it's cooked. You got to tie it up, because what you got to do is you take the turkey and you pretty much butterfly it. I forget what they call that, but you flatten it out, and then you I know there's sausage in there somewhere, but you put the turkey in, you get the turkey and you hollow that out, and you stuff the chicken inside the turkey, and then you roll it up in the chicken and the turkey, roll it up into the turkey, and then you tie it up together with the meat, the ropes there. And then you slow cook it. All right? That's the idea. A lot of work, a lot of expense. It's expensive. And y'all are looking at me like, how does that taste good? Well, I like turkey, I like duck, I like chicken, and I like pork. So how can we go wrong, right? Well, here's what my dad, my own father, I thought he invented this, but apparently when I grew up, I found out most people ate this. He would take, on regular meals, because we didn't have a lot of money, he would take regular meals, he would take sliced cheese and bologna and stack it on a Ritz cracker. That's what we ate. A lot of times, that's what we ate. And I remember him, many times he would take us boys, us older boys, he would take us into a grocery store called the Safeway, and he would say, I got a $5 bill, and I'm going to show y'all how to feed us all on a $5 bill. And he'd go buy sliced cheese and a little pack of bologna and some saltine crackers, and that would be lunch. That was back in the late 70s and early 80s when he could get away with it. And I thought that was my dad's specialty, right? Check this out. We call it the chibalacker. I made that up. It's a chibalacker. Then I grew up and found out most people ate that. I was like, oh, we're not the only ones that can't afford it. But we thought it was, I mean, I still eat it today from time to time. Every now and then, he'd go get salami instead of the bologna, and we all thought we had to put on suit and tie on to go eat. That's because he got that salami. But you know, the reason I'm bringing all that up is because it's Thanksgiving and because we're kind of looking in Scripture to see how we can continue to grow into or develop a thankful heart as people of faith. I mean, we're people of faith. We're believers. We have Jesus. We have salvation. We should be the most thankful people on the planet, if you think about it, right? So we're going to look at chapter 6 in Romans, and we're going to see something a little bit more complicated than turduckens or chibalackers. And hopefully the Lord will continue to increase our ability to have a thankful heart or our ability to be thankful for something at all times. We've talked about that recently. Be thankful always at all times. We've talked about being content in all things, right? And it's hard. It's challenging, isn't it? Even as I'm developing and thinking about sermons about thankfulness, I'm challenged by it because life happens, doesn't it? And things go on. And sometimes they're not so great, and sometimes they're pretty good. And sometimes, if we're honest with ourselves, there's times when great things happen, and it slides right on by without too much thankfulness going on. All right, and I don't mean that harsh. That's just the way it is. Sometimes we can get comfortable with the blessings of God and forget about the need to be thankful, or we take it for granted that we are thankful. It's like, okay, God knows I'm thankful, or we just feel like we're being thankful, but we don't really make a big deal about it, you know? So kind of think about that as we look through the Scriptures and see what we can do to grow in our heart of gratitude or our thankful attitude, or however which way you want to say it. Before we read the Scripture, I want to read a little bit of statistics for you. A single act of gratitude can increase happiness by 10% and reduce depressive symptoms by 35%. Gratitude interventions can also lead to better mental health, fewer symptoms of anxiety and depression, and a greater life satisfaction. Right now, that's the first one, and that already seems challenging, doesn't it? Because even though sometimes our mind says we should be thankful for something, sometimes there's something there in our heart that stands in the way or becomes an obstacle of us to really step into this attitude of gratitude or thankful heart. The phrase "give thanks" is mentioned 73 times in the Old Testament and the New Testament, or the entire Bible, 73 times. How many of y'all know which all 73? Just playing. I'm just trying to make you freak out from a pop quiz. I dare you to look them up, though. 73 times in the Bible is the phrase give thanks is there. Here's another one. Regular gratitude journaling can improve sleep quality by 25%. In other words, if at some point in the evening you sit down and just make a list of all the things in that day that you can be grateful for, you will sleep better. It's just a fact. In the workplace, 88% of people say that expressing gratitude to colleagues makes them feel happier and more fulfilled. 81% of people work harder for a grateful boss. That's a fact. I know that from experience. I've had a lot of jobs. You know? And I'm not even talking about the preaching that I do now. I'm talking all the jobs, the regular jobs that y'all do. It's easier to work for someone who has a grateful attitude than it is to work for someone who doesn't. It's just a fact. Jesus often prayed and gave thanks, right? You got a pen? Here it goes. Matthew chapter 11, chapter 15, and chapter 26. Luke chapter 10 and 22. And John chapter 11 is evidence of Jesus giving thanks. So if he gives thanks, then why shouldn't we? Right? If our Lord, our Savior, give thanks, then who are we to not give thanks? Getting a little serious, isn't it? The Apostle Paul was constantly giving thanks. You can read any of Paul's letters, and he is full of gratefulness for God, for our Savior, for the brothers and sisters in Christ. He was grateful for his suffering from time to time, because he got to suffer in the way that our Savior did. So what's this all about? Well, let's read Romans 6, verse 15 to 18. This is Paul describing what the Christian life is all about. He's describing what it means to be justified and what it means to enter into a life of sanctification, as we studied in our Bible study this morning. And he says right here in verse 15, as he's describing grace and he's describing what repentance looks like, he says, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness?" Right away, as we're looking at what is there to be thankful for, we can see that there is an option, right? Nobody likes me to say this. Nobody likes to hear anybody to say this, but we are all slaves to something or someone. Doesn't matter what you think. Doesn't matter what you want it to be. The fact is, all of us are slave to something or someone. And this particular part of Scripture is pointing out the fact that, it just summing it up, that you're either slave to sin or you're slave to righteousness. Right? So if we're looking for something to be thankful for right off the bat, there it is. There's one of the many things. I'm thankful that we have the option. I'm thankful that there's a choice, y'all, because of Jesus. That's what we just celebrated as we shared in communion. That's what it's all about. That's why we try to never forget what it took for us to be reconciled to our Lord, to have the choice to be slaves to righteousness. Nobody likes the word slave these days. Nobody's liked it since the day Adam and Eve left the garden. Right? And the reason we don't like it is because we like to be the boss of self. We don't like people telling us what to do. We don't like the rules and regulations. And if we surrender to that attitude, we're slave to the ways of the world. And when we're slave to the ways of the world, we're subject to the consequences of the ways of the world. And if you stay there long enough, and maybe y'all have some experience There's not much to be grateful for in the end of that. And even throughout that sometimes. As sinners, we can be fooled into thinking that the what the world offers is great and awesome. And we need it, or it's fun. Right? Success. Money. Go on down the list. Whatever the world is offering you, you get to be the boss. You get to be the king of your life. The problem with that promise that the world makes is it doesn't last. There's no peace. There's nothing to look forward to. In fact, it is a hard slave driver. Because once you start chasing that dream or that success or that kingdom the world offers, you find out that you have to work harder and harder and harder to maintain it, to keep it. But Jesus went to the cross so that we would have a different option. That if we would just surrender to God and His kingdom, we surrender to God and His ways, that the true blessings, the true righteousness is there. So we get to be transformed from being a sinner to a believer, from being an enemy of God to a child of God. Not because we deserve it, but because He loves us. Isn't that amazing? We're not slaves to sin anymore. We're slaves to His righteousness, which means that we choose to work hard at living in His righteousness with His help. It's all what we studied this morning in our Bible study. If we could understand what it means to be surrendered or submitted to our Lord, then the word slave is not offensive to us. Then we become grateful. We become thankful that we are slaves. Slaves to what? We have the opportunity to be slaves to obedience. Right? Not forced obedience. That's not real love, is it? Forced love is not real love. God's love is real love. It's genuine and it's never forced. God never forces us to obey Him. He never forces us to love Him. It's always a choice. And if we choose to be obedient to Him because we put our faith in Him, because we love Him, then we experience the righteousness that only comes through Christ. That's the option. John 3:16 is all about the option. Thank the Lord. He gives us the option. If it weren't for God loving us enough to bring Jesus into the world, to go onto the cross so that we could be reconciled to Him, then we would all be doomed to hell. And we would all be living according to that fact. We would all be pirates and just live for ourselves, and who cares what happens to anybody else? Because there's no point if there's no hope. So we can be thankful that there's hope in Jesus. We can be thankful that there's hope for the believer, for those who choose to step into what we read in 15 and 16. We get to be slaves to obedience, resulting in righteousness. We get to be God's people. Isn't that great? I think recently, in the last 8 weeks, we've been experiencing what we've known all along about God. That He's faithful, that He's powerful, that He's all-knowing, that He's everywhere. He's involved in everything. He answers prayers. He helps those in need. Go on down the list, and we've seen God active in the last 8 weeks. And we can be grateful. But we also know that nothing has changed. God has always been that way. Right? He's always been that way. The difference is we're paying attention now more than we used to. We can't ignore it like we used to be able to. So even in our suffering, we can praise God and thank God. Even in our confusion, in this situation that brings all kinds of emotions, we can thank the Lord that He's faithful We can thank the Lord that his righteousness lives in us as we continue to grow in Christ. I want to look at verse 17 because that's the big idea for this morning. It says, but thanks be to God that though you were slaves to sin, you became obedient to the heart. Obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And, verse 18, and having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. It's not just that easy, right, to just stand up and say, I believe, and then be saved. It is that easy, but there's layers to it. It's one blessing stuffed into another blessing, wrapped around another blessing, you see. And on what God does and what Jesus is about and what salvation is and what the righteousness of Christ in us is all about. It's just not something simple, right? He says, we're thanking God. It's God who did the work. It's God who did all of this. It's God's plan. It's his will that you be saved. Even though you gave yourself to sin, you sold yourself to the highest bidder. That's what sin is. And Jesus bought you back. It says you became, here it is, here's one of the layers. You became obedient from the heart. You see, that's what I mean. Anybody can stand up in front of a church and say, I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. Anybody can get baptized in a body of water. Anybody can walk around and say, I'm a Christian. But God knows those who are obedient from the heart, you see. We do what we do as Christians because we're being transformed by the Spirit of God to be in line with his will. And his will is our will. Our will is his will. And the righteousness of Christ is seen in all of us because of it. You see, obedience is one of the layers of all of this. Not forced obedience. We get to choose to be obedient. Why do we choose? Because we want more of God. Because we want more of what Jesus died for. Because we want more of the blessings that come with being in Christ. And because we want more of God being glorified. So when we're thankful, right, it's always thanks be to God. Hardly ever, if ever, is it appropriate to say thanks be to self. I mean, imagine that, y'all. Imagine a person who every time something good happened or some kind of blessing went on in their life, and they just walk around saying, well, thank you, self, for doing that. And nobody, I don't think anybody actually really does that. Maybe a few narcissists every now and then. But maybe the attitude is, look at what I've done with my life. Look at the success I've made out of myself. Look at the home I built for my family. Look at my children who I raised and who I made into some great people. And never once lifting up the Lord for any of that. Yeah. So it's like, you know, you don't get away with praising self or praising others or anybody but God if you're going to be a person of faith. If you're going to be a person with a heart of gratitude. You know? And we can cook all the turkeys and hams we want and sit around with our family and have a great time and go around the table and tell everybody what we're thankful for. But if we don't have obedience from the heart, how is it that we thank God for the blessings, but then we don't live according to his will? You see, the best way to be thankful to God is to live according to what Jesus died for us to do and be. And how many of y'all need God's help to do that? Two hands over here. You understand what I'm saying? Thank the Lord he don't give up, right? Every time I stumble and fall, he's right there. He's like, let's try it again, right? And then if I say I don't want to try it again, then he gets a little stern with me. He's like, no, we don't quit. Let's try it again. And then I get to be thankful for a second chance, or a 7,357th chance, or whatever it is. We're obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were committed. What form of teaching? The gospel, the word of God. The word of God is here so that we can see what it is that God put in place for those he loves, which is whosoever, right? Which is everybody. God loves everybody, but whosoever believes in him and puts their faith in him are the ones who have reason to be thankful. And I think more people understand that than will admit, right? Because if we take turns almost getting hit by a bus, most of us are going to thank God we didn't get hit by a bus. Even if we're not believers, even if we're not Christians, even if we're not making it known to the world that we believe because we're scared of whatever. But when the world falls apart, people start thanking God by nature sometimes. They're naturally, oh, thank the Lord. But then you call them on it, you're like, oh, you know God? And they're like, yeah, but that's just a saying. I don't really know God. That's just a saying that people say. Well, how come nobody accidentally thanks Buddha? Or how come nobody accidentally thanks the trees that they worship? How come nobody accidentally thanks any other God? Everybody accidentally thanks God. Because God is real. And he created us to do that for that reason. Verse 18 is the real reason, isn't it? I'm saying if you're looking for a place to start every day to be thankful, if you're just one of them spiritual beings that need a kickstart like an old motorcycle, go to this verse right here. And this will get you started thanking God. Because it says, having been freed from sin because you became slaves of righteousness. Y'all. If we could just keep the things that caused us to need Jesus on the front of our minds, not for the purpose of knocking us down, but for the purpose of encouraging us and helping us live in such a way that honors God and his sacrifice on the cross through Jesus, right? If we could just live that way, we would be grateful from the time we open our eyelids to the time we close them back every day. And I'm not saying none of y'all are thankful people. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we need to be people who are thankful always, if you get what I'm saying. It's almost a command. I would go ahead and say it's a command. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Did I put it up there? No. We'll go back to that one in a minute. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15 and 16. The Colossians are being taught how to be in Christ and what it looks like to be in Christ, to be believers. They're being reminded of what they believed and who they are. So he's saying in verse 14, beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. No. Chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. Is that what I put? I read verse 14. Verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. The peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called to one body, and be thankful. I mean, I see a period right there, which means there's no reason to do anything else or to think that there's an exception. The peace of Christ is in charge of your heart. If you're a Christian, if you are submitted, if you are surrendered to Christ as your Lord and Savior. Make sense? Why wouldn't we be thankful? Because I know who was in charge before Jesus. You ever been in a car riding around with somebody who scared the fool out of you all the time? because of the way they drive, and they think they're great drivers, and you're just sitting there with a, don't let me die. You're doing that? That's the way it was when I was in charge. There was uncertainty. It was almost guaranteed. It was always guaranteed to fail. But once you meet Jesus, once you understand the gospel, and once you make a choice to receive that, then there's peace in your life. There's peace in your heart in all situations. There's contentment that we've talked about recently. It says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. This is what Jesus died for. This is the gospel call. Hey, you don't have to live in chaos. You don't have to live in the consequences of sin. Jesus is Lord. And you can be forgiven, and you can have the peace that comes with Christ, and you can be a part of the kingdom of God. I don't even know why he put "and be thankful" on there. Why would you not just naturally be thankful? Except for the fact that he knows that people need to be told to be thankful. Because some of the believers in Paul's day were being challenged greatly in their faith. The world was coming at them because they hated Jesus. They were persecuted badly. And there was a lot of stress and confusion, different kinds of teachings around. And it brought some uncertainty in a worldly way. It brought stress and anxiety. It brought worry into their minds. And he's like, look, in light of all of that, you have Christ. You have the peace of Christ. And he says, let that rule everything that goes on in your mind. Let that rule everything that goes on in your heart. Because that's what you're called to. That's what Jesus died for. And the result is that you'll be thankful. Right? Because when things are uncertain in your life, and you all know what I'm talking about, when things are upside down, or emotions are high, or anxieties are high, or stress is high, or worry is unavoidable, deep down in the heart, we know Jesus. And if that's genuine in our hearts, the Spirit of God will let that get into our mind and overrule the things that interfere with our faith. Overrule the things that interfere with our ability to trust God and our ability to worship Him, even though our life is in the ditch somewhere. Right? All of y'all have had tough times in life. And sometimes you get around other believers and it's just hard to sing out, isn't it? It's hard to amen even though your heart says amen. Your mind just won't let you do it because of all of these emotions and thoughts. It's just where we are. But because we know Christ, we know there's peace that this too shall pass. This too will get better. This too will be different at some point. Which is why I love the song that we sang about going and being with the Lord one day and how great it's going to be. You know? When you think about the things that are gone that you miss, and those people that are gone that you miss, and the weight that comes with that. Those of us who have Jesus, those of us who believe, those of us who have the peace of Christ, we let that rule over that. It's still heavy, but one day all those tears will be gone. All that heartache will be gone. All that hardship will be gone in our minds. It'll be gone. I don't even know. I can't even imagine what that would be like. To have to exist without all of that. But my faith says, one day I'll know. Because of Jesus. One day, my faith says, one day all of that will be different. Until then, the Lord gives me reason to be thankful in the middle of it all. Because there's great things in life too. Because there's joy in life too. There's happiness from time to time in the world, in our lives, if we're looking for it. You see, we can look around and see the existence of God just through His creation and just through our relationship with one another. We can see God. which helps us endure the hard times. Let the peace of Christ rule. Look at verse 16. It says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. The word of God, this Bible, it can't dwell in you if you don't put it in there. It's obedience, y'all. You see all the layers that are coming together. All the things that bring everything that Jesus died for us to have are just layer after layer after layer being stuffed into one another. And we call it hope and salvation, right? And righteousness. And here's the thing about it, y'all. You can't buy it. It's that expensive. You and I, not even all of us together, we can't buy that. The only one that could pay for that is Jesus on the cross. He's the only one that could put all that together in one setting, in one act. So we're instructed from the Word of God to let the peace of Christ rule our lives and let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you. Look, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, look, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Isn't that great? I was talking to some people just the other day about my wife. What, nothing bad? I was talking about how there's no way that I could do what I do for him without my wife. There's just no way. As a Christian man or even a preacher, I can't do it. Because God knows I need a helper. And she's my helper. And if I live every day and I go leave this world and go be with God and never thank the Lord for her, then I fail. You see. And then I look at the rest of y'all. We can't be the church. I can't be the church by myself. It's not about just the preacher, is it? It's about the church. It's about the body of Christ and each one of us doing what God has called us to do. And we help one another. We put the Word of God in us, in our hearts and in our minds, and the Spirit of God helps us to help one another. And then we become grateful for each other. We become grateful for the things that God does in all of y'all, you see. And then it starts seeping out of the church into the community. And we start being grateful for things that are going on in the community. For other folks, for other believers, for other people who aren't even believers. You don't have to look far for things to be grateful for, to be thankful for. Before I got saved, and even when I first got saved, there were a bunch of, I don't mean any harm, but a bunch of old dudes, and all they did was walking around and say, praise the Lord, thank the Lord all the time. I'm like, I ain't gonna walk around saying, praise the Lord, thank the Lord all the time. People are crazy. But you know what? I got older. I'm not old, but I got older. Started learning. Started putting the Word of God in my heart. I accepted the Lord. I accepted His salvation that He's offered me. And I have the peace of Christ in my heart. And guess what I do? I find myself walking around and driving around going, praise the Lord for that. Thank the Lord for this. I'm not as bad as some of them old timers, but I'm getting there. Right? And I don't mind it because I get it now. I get it. How can you not do it? I don't always do it. I wish I did always do it, but I'm not there yet. I'm working on it. The Lord's working on it, right? Praise the Lord. But there's obstacles, aren't there? I'm going to give you these obstacles really quickly. There's obstacles that are in the way of having a thankful heart. Just a natural instinct to be thanking God about everything all the time. There's obstacles. Satan has it planned that way. All right? And I'm not going to give all the credit to Satan. Sometimes we put obstacles in our own way. All right? He's not responsible for everything. So just be aware. The first thing, all right, it's going to be a thanks. It's going to be T-H-A-N-K-S. First thing is time. How we manage our time. If we stay too busy and we run all the time, nonstop, and we don't manage our time appropriately, be good stewards of the time that God has given us, we most likely will miss out on thanking the Lord a lot. Right? Just something to think about. He's only given us 24 hours in a day, and he's only given us from the time we were born to the time we leave. That's the time we have. And it is a stewardship issue. The next word, using the H in thanks, is our habits. Are we in the habit of thanking God? Are we in the habit of being grateful? Are we in the habit of looking for things to be grateful for? Or are we far from that? Are we in the habit of looking at what's wrong all the time? Are we in the habit of looking at what hasn't been done? Are we in the habit of looking at the prayers that God hasn't answered? Neglecting all the ones he did answer, right? I remember when I was a kid, almost every Christmas, and I'm hoping all the kids were the same, but maybe I'm different. But you sit there and you got that one thing that you asked for, that one toy that you wanted, and it was a big one. It's always the big one, right? And you're like, I don't know if it's gonna happen. And you're sitting there and you're looking around, you're looking, sizing up all the boxes, and you're like, yeah, I probably didn't get it. And you're getting all disappointed before you even know what you got. And if you didn't get it, Christmas was ruined in your heart and in your mind as a young kid, right? But if you got it, you didn't care about all them other gifts. You didn't. There was one package we always knew. My dad bought us all a pack of underwear every Christmas. Every Christmas. We didn't even open it. We just like, yep, that's our underwear. We threw it back. What are we looking for? What habits are we forming? Am I in the habit of looking for a reason to thank God? Am I in the habit of looking for a reason to be grateful toward my Savior every day? We got to build good habits, which also leads to the word A, the A word, the attitude. If you're looking for the negative, if you're looking for what's wrong all the time, if you're looking at the storm and taking your eyes off of Jesus, it's going to affect your attitude, right? It's going to affect your attitude. That's the guy that if you give him a $100 bill, he's going to complain because it wasn't a $1,000 bill. Bad attitude. And as believers, there's really no excuse for us to live in a bad attitude. Now, I'm not saying it doesn't happen from a time to time, right? There's times when we just don't make it. We just don't get there. We're just like ticked off, or somebody rubbed us the wrong way, or we're just not feeling it, or maybe we don't feel good. Maybe we're sick or something, and it's causing us to have a bad attitude. I'm not talking about the occasional bad attitude. I'm talking about living in the habit of having a bad attitude. It's just the way you live. It's not going to produce any kind of gratefulness in your heart. All right, the next thing, negativity. You see how it's like a domino effect, right? If you have a bad attitude because you're not in the habit of looking for the things that God is doing, and you're not managing your time well, then you're just going to be a negative person. How many of y'all, I'm not even going to ask you. I was going to say how many of y'all have been around negative people, but I don't want you to answer that, because if you say never, you're probably the one. You don't know what a negative person looks like. There are people out there that no matter what happens to them, they're going to find something wrong with it. It's negative, negative, negative all the time. Even when you're trying to do something nice for them, it's negative, negative, negative. And it's caused by focusing on only the negative, focusing on the storms of life, focusing on what isn't when you're wanting something to be is. Whatever, you're just not satisfied with anything that the Lord's doing or others are doing. Christian folks are not to be negative folks. Not if we're people of faith, right? And this is where I tell people, and I'm going to say it a bunch more times, if Jesus went to the cross so that you can be saved from your sins, and God did nothing else for you ever again, would that be enough for you? Right? I mean, he's not even obligated to do that. All right. It's hard to be around negative folks, isn't it? I mean, people who are negative all the time. Every now and then, we all fall into that trap. Some brother or sister has come up, grab us by the shirt collar and say, "Hey, dude, that's not how we are. Let's figure this out." And you're like, "Oh, all right, okay, I'm good." Then there's people who are unaware. The K, knowledge, or gaps in your knowledge. You're unaware of the benefits of gratitude. You haven't been thankful long enough. You don't spend much time being thankful, so you don't really understand how that can change your life. Right? You know, there's people in the world that just hate Thanksgiving because every part of their life is pretty much in the trash, and their families don't get along, or they don't have family at all, and it's just a lonely time for them. It's real. And every year it comes around and it pushes them into this hole of depression that affects, it takes them all year to recover just so they can go through it again. It's real. And if they don't have Jesus, if they don't have the peace of Christ to counteract all of that, you see what I'm saying? They're unaware of the benefits. Because they'll even tell you what is there to be thankful for. And they'll give you a long list of things that ain't right. A long list of reasons not to be grateful. And they're not wrong. Except for the fact that they don't know the Lord. You see. It's amazing how Jesus in a person's heart totally changes the perspective of every situation. Doesn't always make it go away, but it's a good way to have the right perspective, knowledge. All right, last one. Thanks. The S, stress. Why is stress such a big problem? How many of y'all think that if you're saved, you never get stressed out? I'm glad nobody raised their hand in here. How many of y'all get frustrated because stress affects you the way it does, knowing that you're a believer? That's me. When I experience stress, it's double the whammy for me because I know that there's supposed to be peace in my heart even in this stressful situation. And then when I don't handle the stress the way the Lord would have me handle it, it stresses me out. And then it becomes a snowball effect, you see. This is why we need Jesus. This is why we need the Spirit of God in our life. Because stress, Satan or self will use stress to call you away from Jesus. Call you away from that gratitude and that thankfulness. Because Satan will be over here saying, "Hey, can't you see this storm is happening in your life? Can't you see this sickness? Can't you see this money problem?" And the whole time, Jesus is walking on the water in your storm, saying, "Look, if you just come over here, you'll be all right." You know? And there's that tug of war in our hearts and in our minds. And if we would just let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, it would be automatic to be thankful. Not easy, automatic. And I'll just confess this. There have been times where I'm almost reluctantly, not really reluctantly thanking God, but with a bad tone of voice. Because I know I got to be thankful, and I know the Lord is in the problem, and I know that He's faithful, and I know I'm all right, but it don't feel good. So I'm like, all right, praise the Lord. I mean, I'm trying, y'all. Because I know I got to do that. And I know what my heart really wants that to be. In my heart, I know he is to be praised and thanked. But the battle is in my mind. Because the struggle is real sometimes, isn't it? And if we would just surrender to the peace of Christ in our hearts, it says, then we will be able to be people of gratitude. We will be able to be people who are thankful to our Lord in all situations. So you see all the layers that get stuffed into one another for the Christian to be in Christ, for the Christian to be successful, to be grateful, so that others can see Jesus. Oh, sorry. So they got it for me. So whether it's turduckins, what I call that, chibalackers, or it's salvation. It's not always easy, right? There's always a process. But the result is always good. The work is always worth it, you see. God loves you. I love you. And I'm just grateful that we have a gospel to preach. I'm grateful that we have people sitting around here that know the Lord. I'm grateful that Jesus is our Savior. Amen. Let's sing about it. If you're not saved, now's the time to be saved. Nothing but the blood. Now's the time to respond to Jesus as Lord and Savior. If you believe that, you should repent, be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins as you confess him as your Lord and Savior.